Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to the 17th episode of the AP Now broadcast. I'm Mary Schaefer from AP Now, and I'm very happy to have with me an old friend of mine, Rich Lanza, who's going to talk to us today about some misconceptions regarding metrics, okay, an important topic today. Today's show is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. Welcome, Rich. Thanks for coming. You and I have been friends for quite some time, and I usually refer to you as my data geek friend. So you've got a very interesting job now, or at least it looks really interesting to me, working on innovation for Grant Thornton. And perhaps you could share with our audience a little bit about how you got there.
Yeah, thanks again, Mary. And, you know, I started out as a CPA. But back when I was starting to play around with computers, even back in high school, and that really said something, because it was we used to use tape players was like the hard drive. You know, from there, I really got involved with technology and just found that through internal audit and through consulting with companies and now at Grant Thornton, there still is a sense of data fluency that isn't as much in the business world. So if you are a business user that can run technology as well, you tend to get a lot of attention from some of your colleagues. So with that, you have done a lot in this area and even created a little text analytic approach as well.
Okay. All right. And I'm very interested in that. We've talked about it on a number of occasions. So perhaps you'll come back sometime and share some information about that. So I thought we would start off today because even though both of us love numbers, I know a lot of people are afraid when it comes to numbers. There's a fear of flying, fear of numbers. And one of the things that I wanted to give you a chance is to elucidate on that and perhaps give us some examples. And I want to make the point that any of the bad examples you have are from your pre-Grant Thornton days, which I think is obvious, but apparently not.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, to this point, many years ago, I was writing an article series for these certified fraud examiners. And it was really interesting because, again, a lot of people I talk to and bringing in new technology always wanted to try to get things down to can we do this in Excel or
right.
You know, let's try to get it to some common ground that I can understand as, let's say, a business person, which made a lot of sense. And they named the article series Don't Fear the Data. And I always found that funny because I didn't even bring that up to the editor, but yet the editor kind of pulled that out as sort of listening to me. He said, you know, it seems like people are really fearful of the data. So, don't fear the data. It's something we're constantly talking about with various different groups of people, mostly though in the financial area, which is ironic because they work with numbers quite a bit, but it's where those numbers are stored in databases and, you know, how those, you know, the numbers that they're seeing on the financial report, how did they get there? You know, what were the tables and fields? How do you join those tables and fields together? Get to that final resting ground. We do it through training, but I think a lot of it is actually just even case studies and talking to people about their numbers. You know, so once they can kind of say, okay, these were the, let's say, the financial information, And then you can walk them through some new insights that they never had. They'll ask you, how did you figure that out? I would get that a lot. How did you figure that out? Then it would kind of come, we'd go back to explaining how we got there, and they gained a lot more insight than about the numbers, and there was less of a fear of it.
Yeah, so I had to laugh when I heard you say the only thing they know is Excel because I do everything that I possibly can in Excel.
Yeah, and you know what? And we actually build a lot of prototypes in Excel, partially because we too, everybody too, find Excel is a wonderful development platform. You know, don't please, you know, don't hold me to that because there's a lot of people out there that say, oh no, I built spreadsheets that break all the time, and there's not a lot of quality standards around the development of that spreadsheet.
Right.
So, you know, things can go really wrong. But really, I mean, for playing around and building some new model, we'll usually do a lot of that in Excel ourselves, because it's just, you know, it's so easy to do that. And so yeah, I actually like giving results back to everybody I do in Excel, as a starting point, you know, because that way it gets them over the fear of
Right.
it. And then we move them to other things, like we use a lot of Power BI. And it's a Microsoft type tool that allows you to visualize the data and really do a lot more with it. But I usually find we need to start them with Excel to be able to get to that next step.
So it's funny you mentioned that because we had Bill Jelen on a few weeks ago, and I asked him how he got started with, being Mr. Excel, and he said that his boss way back when had bought some expensive software. I think he said they spent $100,000 for it, and it didn't work. And his boss basically told him, you got to find some way to make this work. And he basically did everything in Excel. So that's how he became Mr. Excel. All right, so there's a lot of misconceptions out there floating around. So perhaps you could tell us what you see as the big three, if you will, and then we'll have a word from our sponsor and maybe we can dive down deeper into them, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure. I would say, you know, I'm not an expert in big data. People are touching a lot of their accounts payable data, let's say general ledger or financial type data right now. In a lot of ways, that is big data. You know, there's
Right.
usually a lot of data and points that are associated with it. You know, as to not being a programmer, I can't do automations and analytics. A lot of that, if you could just get a little more handy in Excel, just being able to do VLOOKUPs, pivot tables, you know, running some new functions. Again, I'm not trying to promote Excel as a programming platform, but it's something where you could get to a point really quickly where you become more data fluent, and you just kind of see what goes wrong in the data. And yeah, as to the technology or people holding it back, I think a lot of the technology that we need in our financial world, not so much for driving a car or a rocket ship, you know, that's totally different technology. The stuff that's going to help us, I think is a lot of it's right there, ready for us to go. But yeah, no, I know we'll talk more about this in a sec.
So I'd like to have a word from our sponsor and then come back and dive into some of these, because it's always interesting talking with you, Rich. All right. AP professionals know invoices are easy to lose and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Now here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communication between approvers, AP, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit stamply.com/AP now. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/AP now. Okay, thanks, Rich. So perhaps you could address the issue of not being a big data expert.
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, big data, a lot of people again fear the data, right? And we'll think about all of the, let's say, email streams and Twitter feeds and other social media and just get kind of overwhelmed and say, you know what, this is not for me. we're not going to get involved there. But there's a lot of big data that, let's say, within an accounts payable process of some of the email data, you know, being clear that that wouldn't be, say, private email, but one that maybe goes to a general box of, mm-hmm. of email box that gets sent. And, you know, doing an analysis of that email text data or taking a look at your accounts payable data in relation to other modules like your inventory module or the general ledger and kind of where it's getting coded. All of that, you know, data I feel is you know, at your fingertips, mm-hmm. yet many people just, again, kind of start thinking and getting overwhelmed and then don't even kind of put that first foot forward. I say, you know, one idea is just to kind of start working your way out, meaning, you know, start with the more basic tables of like payment data and check data and say maybe move to the three-way match data that you may be getting and then move from there to the shipping system itself. And, you know, pretty soon you have a really big data model that, you know, started out as this starting point. By the way, I really like, although it's more of a dream state, but it is something where the more data points that are disparate, mm-hmm. Like the email information or a survey link, or I'll say it, a complaints form or whatever, all of that type of other information that's disparate, mm-hmm. can really help in figuring out what's going on in the process.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. Let's move on now. And, you know, I run into this, like, that's why I tell you, I rely so heavily on Excel. But people sometimes think, well, I'm not a programmer. How do you address that?
Yeah, I'm not a programmer either. You know, that's what's so funny. And I've built more programs and technology than, you know, a lot of folks and you know, a lot of toolkits and things that I've built up. Are ones that, you know, started out, let's say, as a simple duplicate payment report. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from there you figure out kind of what's wrong with that report. A lot of times you'll run many duplicate payment reports and then realize, oh, they're all duplicating the same information. So now I've duplicated the duplicate payment report, you know, and it's something where just then looking at that, it's giving feedback to the model that you're building. Mm-hmm. The model is, I run this thing and it actually tells me the duplicate payments, not all these false positives I have to will mm-hmm. through, but it literally just tells me, no, that's a problem, go get it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to get there, I think could potentially take a while. I don't want to scare anyone, but it's probably even months or years to get to that point. But all along the way, it's just getting better. Mm-hmm. And it's really just a feedback loop. I think starting off with the Excel, as we talked about, is a really good place to start, and becoming just a bit more data fluent, because I have to say I haven't learned as many technology programs out there. I tend to use one or two, mm-hmm. and then I can explain to I'll call it a real programmer, this right. is what I want. But at least it's kind of like the Bill Jell, and I love Bill.
Yeah.
He came up with this Excel model that, you know, I don't want to say many of us could have done, but it's a lot easier for us to build that than to build some, you know, massive application, right. which scares even me, you know. So that's something where, yeah, I think starting out simple and building, you know, really kind of getting some value up front and early, mm-hmm. And then getting people to realize, ooh, we could actually, you know, hire a programmer now,
right.
and it would actually pay to build this. Then that's the beauty of, I think, starting in tools like Excel and other more simple programming type tools, or just working with your IT department and trying to explain better what you're trying to get at, and have them kind of keep building feedback into the model. Mm-hmm. The feedback is really the value. That's like the gold in the
right.
process. Not so much the programmer who's, you know, clicking the actual code together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's pretty interesting. So as we, you know, come down to the end of our time together, you know, you had brought this up, but you hear it all the time. So is the roadblock the technology, that it's advancing so much, or is it the people and their reluctance.
I agree. Like it's, I will admit, even looking at the slide with like roadblock and obstacle and reluctance, it's like I think people are just a little bit scared of the data and the technology. So it's more, of let's kind of push that off to next year.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I hear, we'll just hire a few more people, and it's a very inefficient process. But
right.
We're just going to keep doing it this way because I can understand this. I put people and they do work and it gets done. You know, we're moving to a mode, and I know, you know, you and your listeners know this, is where a lot of that road activity is just getting taken out of the system. And it's not, let's just hire two more people. It's hiring a bot, you know, to show up
right.
And be it Billy the Bot or others to,
yes.
to kind of build out, you know, that for you. It's happening through that feedback that I talked about,
mm-hmm.
where you know you quickly sit down and say, well, what of this process could be, is very repetitive, has a lot of the same inputs of data, et cetera, and that part of it, I think, is you know that technology is
mm-hmm.
is all there for the taking. It's something that we could build right now. I think there's a bit of a reluctance, of changing the process. I mean, I would say try to do this in parallel to your current process.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop everything and rely on the new bot just yet. But I think to not fear it as much, to look at those feedback loops, to look at where you have some of this repetitive, instances,
right.
and try to automate some of that can really help. I think, and what I find really interesting is, you know, throughout my career, but what we find is that working with groups of people in the beginning, they may not understand data as well.
Mm-hmm.
They may be a bit fearful, but if you can just get a couple of examples under their belt where they can start to see how all the parts fit together,
mm-hmm.
it tends to move a lot faster after that. And the real value here is to unlock a lot of that feedback from the business owners in the process and build that into the technology. A lot of this information is kind of in our heads,
right.
On how this process works and what to do in a day. The more you can kind of write that down, get it to a better process, and then automate it, the better. So, yeah, I think the technology that I'm using, I will admit, had come out, you know, for the most part about 20 years ago and, is still being used today and more so than ever. I don't know if it's so much the languages and the tools and the hard drives. I think it is more of us playing around with it more. And I also think, you know, in a broader sense,
mm-hmm.
it's having the time to think about it, because
yep.
many people are just, you know, a bit time bankrupt
yep.
right now.
Yep.
And it's hard to say, hey, let's do this as another fun project on a Sunday
right.
morning.
Right.
So
I don't know where I was reading this. I wish I could remember, but basically their boss said, take every Friday afternoon from 3 until you leave, and don't do regular work, just think about how we can innovate. So kind of scheduling time to think about it.
Yep. Love it. Perfect.
I wish I could remember so I could give credit. Okay. All right, Rich. Well, this was really interesting. I really, as you know, I'm very interested in your theories on letter analytics. So I hope that you'll be willing to come back and talk to us about that sometime. And I'd like to thank our audience for listening to this AP Now podcast and Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. If you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate the episode, review the episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, or wherever. And that includes your staff, by the way. To be alerted to new episodes, please visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for a free twice-a-week e-zine so we can alert you to new episodes of this podcast. Look forward to seeing you again soon. And once again, thanks, Rich.
Thank you, Mary.